Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. So we're going to continue our blockbuster series. So I know Jazz preached last week. Did y'all enjoy Love and Basketball?
Yeah.
All right, I have a confession. I was so glad that was not my topic. I'm like, amen. I'm glad Jazz said he was excited about it. So I heard you did a tremendous job, brother. For those who are visiting today, we are doing a blockbuster summer series. So every sermon for the next month or so will be centered around a movie thing. And it's basically movies that we as a congregation like. So if you're wondering what this series is about, it's based on movies that we chose. And today we get to look at a superhero movie. As a congregation, we love The Incredibles. And that's one of my favorite all-time movies. How many of you all chose The Incredibles? Okay. Christina did, so that's a good thing. Let's go ahead and let's play the clip. Just a little preview for those who aren't familiar with the movie.
What's the toughest thing about being a superhero? Trying to live a normal life. Whether it's pumping up.
Boom! I got it!
Dinner with the family.
Stop coming in the house.
No! Hey, no force field!
You sit down! You sit down!
You can't
let go of your brother!
Or seeing old friends.
Hey, Lucian!
Hey, Speedo!
You are one distracted guy. I know you miss being a hero and your job is frustrating. I just want you to know how much it means to me that you stay at it anyway.
Honey?
Hello, Mr. Incredible.
About the job?
We know who you are.
Something's happened.
We have a new assignment for you.
What?
Showtime.
The supers aren't gone. You can still do great things.
Wait, they're saving the world to the men?
Honey, where's my super suit?
Why do you need to know?
I don't think so.
Your suit can stretch as far as you can and still retain its shape. Virtually indestructible. Now, machine washable, darling. That's a new feature.
Huh?
Superheroes. What can happen?
Uh-oh. Oh, my back.
Let's pray. Father and God, we come before you right now, and we want to thank you so much for this opportunity, God, to get into your word, Heavenly Father, to study these scriptures. And God, we want to thank you for the way you communicate, God. You use all type of media, God, nature, events to communicate with our hearts. And I pray as we look at these scriptures, dear God, that we will make decisions about the men and women we want to be for you. We love you, Father, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the story of The Incredibles. Cool movie because The Incredibles were superheroes, and they were out doing what they loved. And they were saving people at the same time, passionate, making a difference. But it came to a point where the superheroes were too expensive because as they were saving people, they were knocking down buildings and they were getting in the way of everyday life. And it was decided we're going to ask all the supers to be normal, just fit in and be like everybody else because you're too expensive to be a hero. And, you know, that's really the battle that we face. The world just wants us to be normal. The world doesn't want us to stand out. And, you know, what we're going to do today, we're going to look at The Incredibles, and we're going to do a character study. So which biblical character would you say is like Mr. Incredible. Samson, anybody else? Joshua. David. Okay, so those are good. Aaron? Okay. I found one, and I thought about this. I was praying. I said, this guy reminds me of Mr. Incredible because he had these amazing highs, and he had some amazing lows. But when it was time for him to come through, that brother came through. So we're going to go ahead and look at this first slide here. Simon, a man by the name of Simon. Simon was just out doing his everyday business, and he was a fisherman. And his life was interrupted. And he heard a series of sermons. Sometimes when we read Mark chapter 16, we tell people that, you know, as soon as you hear the call, you got to immediately respond. But when you go back and you study out the call of Simon, he had probably heard Jesus speak at least two other occasions and had decided that it wasn't for him. However, Jesus doesn't give up. And Jesus has a message. So let's go to the next slide here. We're going to look at these scriptures because in Mark chapter 1, Simon, Brother Andrew out there casting a net, and Jesus comes along and he says, come follow me. The call of Simon. You're busy, you're working, but I'm going to teach you how to be a fisher of men. And you know, usually Jesus calls us at inconvenient times. We're studying, we're working, we're in the middle of trying to get married, we're in the middle of raising children, we got all this stuff to do. And Jesus says, come follow me. But he doesn't say just come follow me and join a church. He says, I'm going to give you a purpose, that you're going to be a fisher of men. And what do? They left the nets and they followed him. So really, when we look at this character, all of us can relate to the call. Even if you say, well, I'm not sure where I am in my relationship with God. God is sure where he is in his relationship with you. That's what the call is all about. And he's saying, come. And I got a purpose for your life. Not just to come on Sundays, but to really get engaged with what's going on in the world. See, that's an encounter with Jesus. And then, you know, when you have these encounters with Jesus, it's not boring. Because then when you go over to Matthew chapter 8, Simon is there, and his mother-in-law is sick. And Jesus says, you know what? I can heal her. So following Jesus is an adventure. There's always something going on. And really, as Jesus was there ministering to the people, he healed Simon's mother-in-law, and she got up, and out of her gratitude, she began to serve them. A sign of us understanding the call of Jesus, do we respond with gratitude? See, if our lives don't change, then that means that we're missing the point of understanding what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Are we filled with gratitude today? And not only was it just him seeing that miracle, he wanted to experience more of Jesus. So if you look over in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to go to verse 28. Well, let's start in verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, it is you, Peter replied. Tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When we have an encounter with Jesus, we do the unimaginable in our lives. We go places we never thought we would go. We say things we never thought we would say. We really get invested in people's lives that we normally would not have had any contact with. But see, an encounter with Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And, you know, Simon was following, and he was following, and he was following. And then he saw Jesus do something amazing, walking on the water. He said, that's a ghost. Guys were terrified. And Jesus said, no, it's me. I'm just taking a straw. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. We talked a couple of weeks ago about prayer life. Have we started having bold prayers? Have we started having bold conversations with the Lord? Peter wasn't saying, Lord, you're looking good. That's great. Go for it. Look, guys, he can walk on water. Peter said, now I want to get involved in this too. I want to have an adventure also. He wasn't content just to sit in the boat. He wasn't content to be a spectator. You know, sometimes as Christians, we don't mind being spectators. But, you know, being a disciple, engaging in evangelism, that's an outdoor sport. You got to get out there. You got to get involved. And Jesus didn't say, no, stay in the boat. No, you're not ready for this. He's like, come. You want an adventure? Come on. Come. I'm sure Peter was like, ooh. But he got down out of the boat, and what happened? He walked on water. What does that mean? The incredible, the unimaginable happened in his life. So when you watch the movies Incredibles, you saw him lift up the car, the little boy sitting there, and it was like, wow. Well, as you watch the movie, the little boy keeps showing up. And Mr. Incredible's like, what do you want? I don't know. I just want to see something amazing. And really, as Christians, shouldn't we want to see the amazing? Do we want the routine, the mundane? We come to church, we sing four songs, we hear a sermon, we have communion, we go home, we come back to routine. No, I want the amazing. And that's what Peter did. He got out there, he walked on water. But verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter got out there walking on water, looked around and said, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And you know, sometimes that can happen to us spiritually. That can happen to us. We're young in the faith. We're changing our lives. Things are different. And then we start getting nervous. Like, wait a minute. How is all this happening? I'm not supposed to be doing this. And then we look at the distractions. We look at old friends, and we start to sink. But you know what's beautiful about that? The Lord won't let us drown. He won't let us drown. It's so cool because Jesus reached and got him. And then he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And there are times in my life I have to go back and look at, why was I doubting? You know, when you're facing a tough situation and you're in the midst of a tough situation and then God works through that situation and you look back like, oh, God had it the whole time. I spent all that time worrying and doubting about something God already had a plan for. Here I am stressed out, wondering what's going to happen, and God's like, I got it. I had it from day one. Some of us are worried about stuff and Jesus is looking at you saying, oh, you a little faith. Why are you doubting? I got this. I know what I am doing. Amen. You know, the beauty about the Lord. Well, no, I got another slide here. I want us to remember this. What's that next slide? This is something a lot of Christians don't understand. A walk by faith, if it is true biblical faith, will get us in trouble. If you decide, I really want to live by faith, you're going to get in trouble. Why? Because the world gets uncomfortable when we're trying to do something different. Lukewarm Christians get uncomfortable when we are trying to do something different. because it calls them out of their comfort zone. And we got to count the cost. Do we really want to be different? My Bible study group were looking at the book that Jazz recommended. And it's really deep because it's about Joshua and the Israelites. And the whole challenge is not being mediocre and living your glory days now. Really believing that you can have a dynamic Christian life now, that it won't just get better when you die and go to heaven, but it can be incredible right now. And the conversations we've been having are thought-provoking and stimulating, and it's also convicting because it's so easy, it's so very easy to expect the routine mundane and not consider that great things can happen when we have a relationship with God. And one of the statistics that the author gave, he said, right now in churches, 11% of people in the church believe they have glory days that they're living right now. Only 11%. He said, now let's look at this. If, and I think Jackson already covered this, 11%, if a high school was in graduating 11% of its people, is that a successful high school? But you know, we settle. We settle, even in our own personal relationship with God, we settle. So what do we need to do? You know why I say Peter's like Mr. Incredible? Because if you go and look at the movie, Mr. Incredible doing amazing things, going for it, living life, having an adventure, and then routine hit. But he didn't give up in his heart. He would sneak out at night having adventures. He and his buddy. What was his buddy name? Freezone, Frozone? See, y'all did watch the movie Frozone. They would go out saving people late at night. And he was hiding this from his family. Why? Because he had to do something. He couldn't just go back to routine. Peter, well, Simon becomes Peter. And let's see how this transpired. If you go to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Very interesting because these were Jews who did not believe in reincarnation. But in their pride, they did not want to accept Jesus was the Messiah. So they would embrace false doctrine of reincarnation before they said he's the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting on. And then Jesus said, okay, that's what the people are saying, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In fact, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter, you got it right. And because you got it right, I'm going to use your confession. You are going to be used powerfully. Wow. In fact, you're going to open the doors of the church. How do you think Peter felt after that? How do you think he felt? The rock. Y'all are excited about Dwayne Johnson. There was a rock before Dwayne Johnson came along. Simon Peter became known as the Rock. He was the man with Jesus. He was in the circle, one of the three. He would eventually lead the early church. Peter was feeling great about his relationship with God. You ever in that, I'm just feeling great about my relationship with God zone? He's like, it's just amazing. Wow, I get to lead a little group now. Jesus said, I get to lead the little group. I'm right there. He called me the Rock. Andrew, what did he call you? Hey, brothers. Y'all know what Jesus called me? Did y'all get a nickname? Oh, he's feeling good about himself, loving life. He goes home tells his wife about it. You can put up my next slide there. Mrs. Rock said, keep the faith. We're going to do this too. Yes, come on. And you know, when you study out these scriptures, Peter, apostle, also known as an elder. So he influenced his family because he did have a believing wife and believing children. And we can learn a lot of lessons from that. Number one, men, we got to influence in a positive manner. We have influence, but we got to make sure we're using it to bring glory to God. Now, I don't care what anybody else says about husbands. You don't need to leave your wife, lead your wives, you lead together. Listen, the way God designed nature, there's always a leader. There's never been a place where there's not a leader. And even when you decide I'm not going to lead and we're just going to be in this together, you just made a decision. So you led in a bad decision. Because there's always a leader. This is how convicting it is. She followed. It doesn't work. You can't lead if people don't follow. So we know that Peter had a believing wife because he became an elder. So I want to encourage the sisters, if you got a spiritual man in your life, encourage him. Work with the brother. Build him up because he needs that encouragement. I appreciate it. I got a great wife that encourages me. I'm so grateful. It's been many years of encouragement. If you're single, ladies, look for a spiritual man. Look for a spiritual man. And if you are a man, make sure that you understand your responsibility is to lead your future family spiritually. That's what it means to be a man of God. That's what the Bible teaches. So Monday, I was in New York City. Went up to New York City. I was invited to do an educational workshop. A brother that I've known since he was 14 works for New York City Board of Ed. And they have an initiative now, NYC Men Teach. Now, if you don't know anything about New York City, let me help you out. Everything this country is going through now, New York City did it first. LGBT community, New York City did it first. Craziness with the cops, New York City did it first. That was back in the 90s. All this feminism, New York City did it first. So New York City is the trendsetter for the nation. Now everybody else is caught up in this madness. So I'm there at the workshop. And they bring in a lady from the mayor's office, and she's talking to about 30 young men from all over the country trying to encourage them to become educators. And, you know, I'm just sitting there, I'm listening. The sister gets up and says, we need men, not males. We need men. We need men in the classroom. She went on preaching about the role of men. And I'm just sitting there like, wow, even the world has figured that out. So it's going full circle. Back in the 90s, I don't need a man. Here we are in 2017. We need men. And then the next woman got up, and she started talking. She says, yeah, I was in the classroom for 10 years. I burnt out. I just can't do it anymore. I had to go into ministry. I can't do it. She said, but my male counterparts, they're still teaching. And I'm looking at them like, how can they continue year after year? There's something different between men and women. I'm just sitting there like, really? And it's not that men are superior and women are inferior. It's that we're wired differently. See, little Billy acts up in class, and, you know, sister going off on him, yelling, screaming, going off. Male teacher comes in, Mr. Edwards, Billy, I ain't having that today. I am not having... Oh, you think you want to go there with me right now, son? Well, come on out. We can handle this right now. And little Billy be like, yes, sir. Yes. What? There's a unique role we play in culture, in society. And what the devil wants us to think, we are irrelevant. And that's what society has been trying to tell men for the longest. You are irrelevant. You're interchangeable parts. So guess what's happened? We're at the crux of a cultural revolution. Now what's going to start happening all over the country, we need men, not males. They didn't say male initially. Men, M-E-N. So when I went in and I talked to them boys, I went in on them about manhood. They were like, oh. I said, no. I know you're 19, but you got to grow up. Take your rightful place in society. You are needed. And them boys loved it. At the end of the day, they're like, Now, of course, when they go in there to teach summer school, them kids going to tear them up, but they're going to go in confident. Then afterwards, we're going to pull them back in and say, you can go back in and fight another day. Right. What I'm saying is that everybody is needed. Male, female, we play a unique role. God has designed it that way. Peter became the rock because he had a role he needed to play. Now, there are challenges that come along with responsibility. Whenever you get a responsibility from Jesus, you have an encounter with yourself. And there's stuff you got to work through in your own character. What's the next slide? Encounter with self. Peter was feeling good about himself. Peter said, okay, Jesus is preaching. You know, guys, I'm going to be betrayed. I got to go. I got to suffer. Peter said, excuse me. Come here, Jesus. Mm-mm. That's not encouraging. We need an encouraging message. I don't like that message, Jesus. That's not what the brothers need to hear right now. I've been listening and listening, and you've been taking us here, but now you're bringing us down. Jesus. No. So Peter got bold. And sometimes, you know, we're around for a little bit, and we come get a little tight on, we get a lot of pride. And we know best about everything. And we're letting Jesus know, and everybody else, we know what we're doing. And you know Jesus, being Jesus, said, come here, Peter. You pulled me inside. Let's go back over here with the brothers. Get behind me, Satan. Because you don't understand the things of what God is doing. You don't understand God. Let me tell you. Whenever you decide you want to do great things for God, you're going to have an encounter with your character. There are things that are going to be exposed in character that never you would never see it until you step out the boat. And Peter saw it. Peter had to deal with some pride there. He thought he knew best. Hey, I've had to deal with my pride. There are times in my life where God made it clear, you don't know best. You got to step back. Hold up. You're not that important. Take it easy. Life will go on. I got this. I don't need you to handle this. And let me tell you, if you stay in the church long enough, you're going to get there. If you haven't been there, you will get there. So can you imagine? Peter the rock just got rebuked. And then Jesus goes off and prays, and Peter is stuck with the brothers. I have brothers. Got about six brothers. I have brothers in the church. Let me tell you, brothers give brothers a hard time. Can you imagine them around the campfire? Somebody here is Satan. Somebody heard it from Jesus. Was it you, John? Thomas, did you say something? I doubt it wasn't me. You can't laugh at me. You know, Peter had to sit there with them guys. And them brothers probably went in on him. Okay. All right, guys, we need to call the night. Satan is talking again. That's just how brothers mess with each other. Ain't that right, guys? Yeah, that's you just have to roll with it because you know their turn is coming. So you just store it all up. You say, I got you. Yeah, brothers love to throw shots. I mean, I was back there and brothers were throwing shots, talking about my white pants, but that's all right. That's all right. I got the microphone right now. But we have guests, so I will set an example. Peter, the man, Peter, the leader. Peter was the guy, the spiritual leader of the group. And if you stay in the church long enough, you will be leading somewhere in some capacity. Jesus is going through the most difficult time of his life. And then, you know, he says, come on, guys, let's go pray. I'm having a hard time. You know, I just want to pray with my friends. So in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Jesus had served and served and served and served. He said, God, all I want you to do is pray. Just pray with me. Pray. Come back, them boys are out. You ever got with a group of people to pray, like an all-night prayer session, and you heard snoring? Or you're praying on the phone with somebody, and you don't hear nothing on the other end? Or you're praying with your wife before you go to sleep, and you finish your prayer, and all you hear is silence, and that sister in deep meditation, boy. She's in deep meditation. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you, man, keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. He said, brothers, couldn't y'all stay awake? Peter, what's going on around here? It's like, what? I'm in charge again? Why am I in charge? Why am I singled out? These are my brothers. I mean, well, they're my brothers. But this is not my responsibility. These aren't my children. Peter, what's going on? Wow, that position. Because Peter probably didn't want the position anymore. Probably didn't want it. It's too much. You know, if you're trying to be responsible for people, that's a lot of responsibility. Amen. That's just, I don't know. I love Jesus. I love the church. And the church would be incredible if there were no people in it. But somewhere along this Christian journey, we may get responsibility for helping people. Because I thought it was so ironic that he singled out Peter. But this is the deep one in verse 69. So Jesus is on his way to trial. And he says, guys, they're coming to get me. And Peter's attitude was like, no, Lord, this will never happen. In fact, if everybody else leaves, I will never leave you. I'm committed. I am here. And Jesus said, oh, you're denying me before the rooster crows 3 times. Not me. I'm committed. I am here. But then he sees the mob. He gets intimidated. Peter takes out a sword and tries to fight, but he's a fisherman. So he aimed at the guy's head and hit his ear. How in the world you hit an ear? But he's a fisherman. And Jesus says, let's get him, boys. I'm calling the angels. Let's go. Let's go. He said, put your sword back. Why am I doing that? That's not how I'm going out. Peter has sacrificed and sacrificed, tried to defend Jesus. Jesus rebuked him in front of the mob. So you know what? I think Peter may have been struggling with anger. I think Peter may have been angry. Peter had given up his life, had been taking heat from his wife because he wasn't there to raise the kids. He was out on this missionary thing. Peter was doing all this stuff for Jesus to say, okay, let them have their way. What? After all these sacrifices I've made? Oh, you were one of his disciples. I don't know that man. Don't know him. Wait a minute. Aren't you one of them? I saw you with him. I don't know him. I'm done with that discipleship stuff. Whoa, don't want to have nothing to do with it. Third time around. You're one. I told you to blank, blank, the bleep, 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 blank, 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 blank. He was a fisherman. He was hot. And that rooster crowed. And he remembered what Jesus said. Because he never thought he would do it. If everybody else leave, I'm faithful. I'm here. What do you do when you deny the Lord? Whew, is there a comeback from that? You ever hit a place in your spiritual life where you thought, I don't know if I can make it through this? Man, I'm so disillusioned right now. This is the most difficult thing I've ever had to go through, and all I wanted to do was help people. All I wanted to do was be a Christian. And here I am, left and right. Oh, this is just depressing. What do you do when it's sad? Where do you go from there? Well, Judas committed suicide. Some people do that. Spiritual suicide. They throw in the towel. Say, I'm not doing this no more. Hurts. Hurts too much. Put your heart out there. Defending Jesus. The mob comes and attack. And Jesus says, let them have their way. What? What? This thing, that's why some people say, I can't be a leader. Because it's painful. You're the first one to get the bullet. That's what it means to be a leader. You're out front. Jesus said, listen, I got a plan, but more importantly, my Father has a plan. So what did Peter do? As we close it out here, we'll see what Peter did. You can go to the next slide. Oh, just so we understand. As a Christian, it is better to be a follower who sometimes fails than one who fails to follow. Better to be, because Peter failed. He failed in his relationship with Jesus by rebuking Jesus, his pride. He failed in his relationship with Jesus again, because Jesus said, why didn't you stay awake? And then he denied Jesus. But he was a follower. And this is going to be evident as we go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Jesus appeared to his disciples again. But Peter had become so disillusioned with his whole Christian walk, he went to what was comfortable. He went back fishing. And he just didn't go. He took his boys. Say, guys, you know, Jesus is gone. Let's go back to work. It was a wonderful adventure. Did it really happen? Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But it's over now. Let's go back to a normal life. So they all went out fishing. But guess what? They didn't catch anything. Professional fishermen who didn't catch anything. Jesus shows up. Hey, have you caught any fish? Nope. Throw your net on the right side of the boat. When they did, they were able to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Verse 7, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, jumped in the water. The other disciples followed him. Peter still had in his heart, he wanted to do what was right. He just was in a bad place spiritually. So when they landed, they saw a fire and burning coals and fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some fish that you caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Peter said to them, come and have breakfast. Jesus said, come and have breakfast. What I want us to understand, even when we blow it, Jesus still loves us. Jesus loves us to the point he said, I'm fixing breakfast for you. Come on. Come on, let's have a little meal together. Let's have a little talk. Let's figure out what we can do to get you back on track. None of the disciples dared ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, did the same with the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus had to keep appearing to them to help them with their faith. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, and this is deep, because Jesus will give us moments of peace. When we blow it, Jesus will just let the, after you go through the storm, I've gone through many storms, and Jesus lets the calm come. And you're there, you're enjoying the calm. And then Jesus asks this question, do you love me? Oh man, I thought I was just gonna chill for a few. This will take a little spiritual vacation right here. Jesus has a way of asking, do you love me? And it's very interesting. I'm gonna share some things here that I found in the commentary. Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. The first time Jesus said, do you love me, Greek agape, sacrificial love, more than these? The second time Jesus focused on Peter alone and still used the word translated into Greek, agape. The third time Jesus had asked Peter, do you love me? It's all the guys. First of all, do you guys love me? Yeah, yeah. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Agape, do you love me? Yeah. Third time Jesus used the word phileo, meaning brotherly love or friendship. Third time Jesus said, are you even my friend? Are you my friend? Are you my friend? Peter responded each time with, I love you. I love you. But what Jesus wanted him to do that third time to get to the root of the problem. See, Jesus just doesn't want us to be superficial. He wants us to get to the root. Peter had just gone through a storm. It had been intense. His life had been turned upside down. But Jesus said, do you still love me? Oh, are you my friend? I've been a friend to you. Now, are you going to return that and be a friend to me? See, because you know what friends do? They stay in there with you. Friends ride that storm with you. Say, Peter, we went through a rough time. You left. Now you got an opportunity to come back. But are you going to be here? Can I rely on you? Can I count on you? And you know, Peter's life changed. He had to count the cost again. If you are a Christian, chances are before you got baptized, someone sat you down, read some scriptures and say, listen, are you willing to do this for life? You say, yeah. You say, Jesus is Lord. That's not the only time you count the cost. Okay? Let me let you in on a little secret. There is going to be another occasion in your life where you would have been as loyal, as committed, as devoted, as sacrificial as you know how to be, and the rug will be pulled from under your feet. And you will go back fishing. You'll go back just doing what's safe and convenient. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is going to show up again in your life and say, oh, there's a need. We got a need here. You can meet this need. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to step back out there in faith? Man, I'll be honest with you. There have been times when, no. Mm-mm. I can be a good Christian. I can help my wife and kids and occasionally study the Bible with somebody. But ministry, no. It's too much, too much. Nope, don't want to do that. Then Jesus said, come here. Are you my friend? Yeah, we're boys. We've been together all this time. Go feed the sheep. I can feed them through good deeds. Mm-mm. No. I can feed them just through education. I'll teach them how to think. No. You mean I got to get back out there and preach the word? I got to get back out there and expect people to obey you? this isn't popular right now, Jesus. Do you love me? Go take care of your brothers. And that's not just the preachers. That's the Christians. That's what Christians do. Christians stay invested. Stay invested. You know what? When you look at that movie, The Incredibles, society say there's no place for you because somebody else wanted the glory. There was another guy who wanted to take their place. That's all it was about. And he had come up with ways to make himself look like a superhero. He wasn't the real superhero. And he was doing more damage than he was good. So Mr. Incredible says, tells his wife, stay in the car. I got to go fight. This is too tough. She said, no, we're in this together. Then all the kids jump in. Yeah, we're going to jump in too. So the whole family gets out there and fight. I love it. I love it. See my daughter out there fighting, telling me what she's doing to help people. I love it. It's like we need a whole family. If you're a family, we need the entire family to fight. Everybody get involved. And then, and not only did the family fight, they bought friends. Frozone, Freezer Man, what's he called? Y'all know who he is. He jumped in too. He jumped in too, and they won. And it was a victory. Peter eventually leads the first church. He becomes the leader of the first church. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, he opens the doors and he preaches the first gospel sermon. The man who denied Jesus, the man who was cursing, the man who was blowing it, the man who had gone back to fishing, came back. What does it mean? Nobody's beyond redemption. There are brothers and sisters who have wandered away. Pray. That story's not over. Nobody's beyond redemption. God's got a plan. You know, I was up in, went to our ministry we were led years ago. I hadn't been back to Harlem about 20 years, meeting that ministry. And my wife and I saw so many people. They're loyal. Been around for eons. Just loyal, loving God. And I was in the fellowship, and this guy walks up. And I had to do a double take. I'm like, whoa, where have you been? Because this guy, he and his wife had become Christians, and she had been a model at one time, and he was a very talented guy, and a smile that light up the room. He was funny. He just was a, had one of those type of personalities. They were so popular as a couple. One day when we had church at the Apollo, they must have had 60 friends there. This is how popular they were in Harlem. But they wandered away. They stopped coming. Ended up getting divorced. And then I saw him in church. He said, I'm back. He said, you know what helped me out? I remember what you said when I studied the Bible. I said, really? That was 20 years ago. He said, you said, I believe in you. And I said, you know what? I got to go home. I got to go home. Brothers and sisters, the story is not written.
That's right.
It's not written. We don't know what God is going to do. But all I'm saying is, while we're here, let's do what we can do. And let's let God be God. As we take the communion, I want us to think about Jesus and how Jesus wants friends. He doesn't want fans. And the question we got to ask ourselves, am I a friend to Jesus? Because he's been a friend to all of us. But am I a friend to Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, we come before you right now. And God, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to look at the scriptures, God. Thank you so much for the life of Peter and the example that he set and how we all have walked in his shoes, dear God. And it's encouraging to know that you always have a plan. I pray that you will bless us, God, as we strive to imitate Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice he made. I thank you for him allowing his body to be broken, his blood to be shed, so that we could be free. Pray that you would bless this communion in your son's name. Amen.